the press freedom group Reporters Without Borders says May has been another deadly month for Iraqi journalists, with at least 5 reporters or support staff killed. Kidnapping is also an ever-present threat. A few weeks after the American reporter Jill Carroll was abducted this January, 2 journalists from an Iraqi TV station were kidnapped. Nearly 5 months later, Carroll is free, thanks in part to a sustained international effort, but there's no word on the fate of the Iraqis and only scattered calls for their release. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports from Baghdad.
Television cameraman Firas Al-Alaq was on a routine assignment at the headquarters of the Iraqi Islamic Party on February 1st. As he left with his colleagues Reem Zaid and Marwan Ghazal, Firas recalls that the 2 cars of armed men who stopped them didn't look anything like his image of kidnappers. These men were well-dressed, well-trained in using their weapons, their faces uncovered. He mistook them for VIP bodyguards.
They approached our car shouting, "Stop! Stop!" There were 5 of them and got out of their car and pointed at Marwan and Reem and said, "This one and this one." Another one grabbed Reem's hair. I tried to hit him and he shoved the barrel of his machine gun into my chest and pushed me down on the floor. They put Marwan and Reem in an open Victra and sped off.
While another cameraman phoned the station, Firas ran for help.
I ran back to the Iraqi Islamic Party. I told them Reem and Marwan had just been kidnapped. They said, "We have nothing to do with this. Get out of here." So I ran to the nearest police station. I said, "Please, alert the checkpoints. You have to stop them." He said he can't do anything until he takes a full written report from me. I said, "By that time, they'll get away." But he wouldn't listen.
The following weeks highlighted the vast difference between the reaction to Reem and Marwan's kidnapping and the response to Jill Carroll's abduction. The plight of the young freelance reporter for the Christian Science Monitor sparked public and private efforts by government, military, and diplomatic officials, as well as by prominent Muslim religious and political figures. Reem and Marwan received only sporadic coverage. That changed briefly on March 30th, when Jill Carroll was suddenly freed by her captors. Over the next several days, Carroll, her bosses at the newspaper, and press freedom advocates all made a number of pleas on behalf of the Iraqis still being held. Once she returned to Boston, Carroll began to realize the enormity of the effort that had been waged on her behalf. In a video posted on the Monitor's website, she tried to convey her astonishment.
It's like a humanitarian organization. It's overwhelming. The work that went into this and the trouble everyone went to for me, a lowly freelancer.
The Monitor also provided for the family of Carroll's Iraqi translator, who was shot and killed the day she was taken. Meanwhile, in Baghdad, after weeks of silence from Reem and Marwan's abductors, their parents stopped talking to the media and asked to be left alone. In an old building in Baghdad's Wazariya neighborhood, 54-year-old Saad Mohsen is working to put together an Iraqi union to protect journalists. Like most Iraqis, he was pleased to see Jill Carroll released. He just wishes he could find a fraction of that kind of support for Iraqi journalists. As it is, he says his union is barely scraping by. When asked what's being done to free Reem and Marwan now, Mohsen pauses to listen to the sound of an explosion outside, points in the direction of the blast, and smiles as if to say, "What can we do?"
I think that answers your question better than I can.
Outside the Journalists Union, a member of NPR's Iraqi staff and driver found themselves trapped behind Iraqi police blockades as the frenetic aftermath of another Baghdad car bombing unfolded. Unlike Reem Zaid and Marwan Ghazal, they made it back to the office safely. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Baghdad.
NPR Baghdad employee Farah Kassab provided reporting for this story.